Flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everyone, for coming tonight. It's good to see a nice full audience. Roll call tonight, we have all council members present except Joe McIntosh. Mark Carroll, the mayor, is here, Matt Hootman, the engineer, and Frank Daly, the solicitor. The building inspector, Rich Jensen, and Mike Chioko, the fire marshal, are here, as well as our friends from the fire department in the back of the room. First on the agenda is opportunity for the public to address council. Please state your name and address for the record. Anybody in the first row? Hang on one second. Anybody in the first row? Nope. Second row? You guys are here for, this is your area of expertise, Philip. You're here for Government 101, is that correct?
Yeah, if you go.
Okay, good. Let us know if you have any questions. Third row? No? Yeah, go ahead. What is your name?
Number 3159 Garnet Line Road.
I'm sorry, can you say it a little louder?
That's fine. Mike?
Mike? Greek?
G-R-E-E-K.
Okay.
I live at 3159 Garnet Line Road.
Okay.
And the reason I'm here tonight is, by now I'm sure everybody knows what's going on with Chester Water Authority and the newspaper. I was really pushing hard to get us. I'm an employee of Chester Water. I don't want to say I'm a representative because nobody asked me to come. I'm doing this on my own, and a lot of us have been going around to these boroughs and townships on our own, just asking for support as far as like maybe a resolution that would be in support of a sale not going through. I don't know exactly how many customers we have in Chester Heights Borough. I know we have some, but it's something I don't think any of you really want to see go away as far as Chester Water. The rates are as low as they can be. A private company can never, you know, compete with what we provide. I know they said in the paper the other day that they freeze rates for 10 years. Unfortunately, the things that they don't tell you is that they're going to bill you every month and you're going to get hit with a service charge every month. And it's not just, you know, customers, it's businesses, you know, however many businesses we service throughout the area. It's just, it's a big deal. And I think Chester Water Authority's really put a lot of things out there to basically warn the people of how close this is to happening. You know, it's unfortunate, and it seems like there's a lot of forces lining up against us to make this happen. But Aqua is a giant. You know, they're the number two in the country. You know, the number two water company in the country. They're about making money for stockholders, and that's basically, you know, shareholders, that's basically what it is. You know, Chester Water, it has nothing but the customers and the public's best interest in mind when we do what we do. That's why if you did read the paper, now Mr. Luca from Aqua told Mr. Catania, or Frank Catania, our lawyer, you know, we've tried to meet with you, and what he meant was in private, and Mr. Catania's response is you can meet with us anytime you want, on the third Thursday of the month in our building that we meet every third Thursday to speak about it in public in front of everybody. So again, all I'm here to, you know, tonight is to ask for support for Chester Water. If you could, if you would, we'd appreciate it. That's basically all I have. All right.
Thank you. Anyone else back there? Sam, Larry, Mike, anything? Okay. All right, first on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the October 2nd, 2017 regular meeting. I gave the following corrections to Sue. On the first page, the in the area public to address council, the correct name is Janice Plekin Schoonover. See if that was it. And that was all the changes I gave her. Were there any other typos, corrections, additions? No? Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the October 2nd, 2017 regular council meeting?
So moved.
Jeff makes a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Jordan seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion passes. Next would be to approve the minutes of the October 23rd, 2017 work session. I did give Sue some comments. The way the minutes read, it talks about the engineer for 156 Logtown Road coming to explain to us about a waiver for the grade of the driveway. And then Gloria Ellis had some comments, another neighbor had some comments, and then it went right to motion. And I asked her to add just a paragraph that says, considerable discussion occurred between the engineer, the residents, the borough engineer, and council about this waiver, because we did have a lot of dialogue about it. Just felt like something was missing there. So she added that. And the next page under 479 Valley Brook Road, President Clark reported that 479 Valley Brook Road was recently purchased and that the new owner is considering subdividing, and I asked her to change that to may be considering subdividing the property, because we don't know for sure. And then the last, almost the last item under the website proposal, it says Vice President Goldberg asked council to consider putting the cost of phase one in the 2018 budget. It should be phase two, because phase one is already in the 2017 budget. Were there any other changes to the October 23rd work session meeting minutes? If not, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the October 23rd work session?
So
Marta makes a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Jordan seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion passes. Next is the Secretary Treasurer report.
President?
Yes.
We had discussed at the October meeting possibly correcting the August work session minutes. I think now's the time. You said we were already beyond talking about minutes at that point of the meeting, so you said we should have to wait till November.
We can talk about it and make a motion now. I guess my personal feeling is, Philip, you made a speech. Philip made a speech, and then you made a counter to that speech. It's all in the minutes.
It's separated by several months, and there are misquotes in the August minutes that were later used to misinterpret secret meetings and criminal activity that never happened.
I think this could be a long and contentious discussion. I think we should wait until later in the meeting to have it. Let's try to get, if you don't mind, some of the normal business out of the way.
Fine. Okay. I was just advised by counsel that I needed to try to correct this here.
Okay. We will talk about it after we... I know you may... Let's see how time goes, okay?
Sure.
All right. All right, Secretary Treasurer report. First of all, the receipts. We had $48,264 in receipts in October. That's a very good month. We had $20,000 in real estate transfer tax, roughly $10,000 from Comcast for their franchise, $12,000 for Arbor Square building permit, and a couple thousand for Stony Bank and other miscellaneous. Were there any questions on the receipts for the month of October? Do I have a motion to approve the receipts of the Secretary of Treasury report for October 2017?
Aye.
Jeff makes a motion. Is there a second? Marta, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And our expenses for October were $23,000, so we did have a net gain in the month of October. There's really nothing major to discuss here as far as the expenses are concerned. Were there any questions about the expenses for October 2017? No? Do I have a motion to approve the expenses of the October 2017 Secretary Treasury report? Marta makes a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Ann is a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. All right, next under Secretary Treasury report is authorizing the Secretary. I think I need to make a motion for this, right, Sue? I need a motion to authorize the Secretary to advertise the budget hearing and the hours open for public inspection of the preliminary budgets.
So moved.
Jeff makes a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Ann seconds the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The motion passes. Next is consideration of council to approve 2018 meeting dates and authorize the Secretary to advertise meeting dates. Sue did put a list of the meeting dates. were there any, we did make one change to these dates. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was something I noticed. But was there any comments on the meeting dates for 2018?
The 11/26, are we avoiding Thanksgiving
then?
That's
a Monday.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Monday.
Okay.
Well, if we find a date that's not good, we can change it later. It's not the end of the world, so.
I know, we accept them.
Do I have a motion to approve the 2018 meeting dates and authorize the secretary to
Why don't we have a committee meeting? Was Weiser.
Because it's Martin Luther King
Day. That's what it was. It's Martin Luther King Day. That's why we took it out. Okay. Do I have a motion from council to approve the 2018 meeting dates and authorize the secretary to advertise the meeting dates?
Same.
Philip makes a motion. Is there a second?
I second it.
Ann seconds. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay. Moving right along here. Correspondence, Ann? Is there anything else, Sue, under secretary? No, we're good. Okay.
There's a letter here from the County of Delaware Office of Housing and Community Development about a community development block grant applications for the fiscal year of 2018. The county anticipates receiving $3 million in the upcoming program year, which is scheduled to begin July 1st, 2018. To be considered for funding, applications must be received in full no later than January 11th, 2018. There's a number of ongoing countywide housing programs available to support residents. There's an enclosure they sent with the programs that are available if anybody wants to look at that. It's the Home Ownership First Program, the Housing Legal Helpline, and the Fair Housing Education Program. And that's it.
I guess the point is there's housing assistance available at the county level if you're ever interested. Okay.
Madam President, I have one further piece of correspondence. The Delaware County Veterans Memorial Association and Delaware County Council are holding their fourth annual Freedom Medal Dinner Thursday, November 16th at Springfield Country Club. This is the fundraiser for the Delaware County Veterans Memorial in Newtown Square. They're inviting myself and any members of council. Tickets are $100 or $75 per veteran. I'll leave it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. All right. Inspector's report. Rich, building inspector.
Just normal inspections during the month. You and I had a conversation about the Evolution Fitness.
Right.
Okay. I think that's a done issue, although I am waiting for Mr. Meinhardt to send me through the various emails that transpired between the owner and the complainer. Okay. That's about it on building inspection. There's nothing else for zoning either at this moment.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for the building inspector? Nope. Okay.
Sorry, I do have a question. On the income that we got, the $12,000 for the permit fee, was that part of that 124? Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, fire marshal?
I had five fire-related incidents last month. And I had came across some, I worked with St. Thomas the Apostle School last year, at the end of the year, in regards to lockdown. And I received a letter this past week. I passed it on to Larry, and what it does, it gives a detailed explanation of where all the children are, the classrooms and gyms and all the nooks and crannies of the buildings. And on another matter, everybody should have changed their smoke detector batteries when the clocks turned back. And I really urge everyone, please get your heater inspected. We are going to get cold weather. And because people have a false fallacy that I have a gas heater, it doesn't need to be serviced. And that is, couldn't be any wrong. barometer on that. So get your heater serviced and get your batteries changed out in your smoke detectors.
Okay.
And if your smoke detector is over 10 years old, change it out. The dates are on the back. If you take the smoke detector down and look at the back, you'll see a date. If you don't see a date, it's over 10 years old.
All right, thank you, Mike. Sewage enforcement, Sue, is there any update? No report?
Well, he did get two applications today for the sewer permits. One was for Smith Bridge Road, and one was for Ivy Mills Road. I forget the exact address, but we got two today.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Larry, Roadmaster?
Basically routine. I've been doing a lot of clearing of PA1 calls. I noticed there was an address on Bonnie Lane that was getting a lot of plans and preliminary plans for stormwater management, so I turned that back over to Matt. Matt's investigating that along with Rich. Other than that, routine matters at this point.
What address on Bonnie Lane was it?
Nine.
Number nine.
Could be just design work.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe want to update perk holes, but seems a little over the top because there's houses and lots that are fairly well built out down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No permit's been applied for the borough yet, so we'll, and there's been no earth moving activity.
Okay. All right. Nothing on zoning solicitors report. Frank?
We received three bids with snow removal, and they're still sitting here. And I ask that we pass that matter at the moment, and Matt and I will open them during the meeting and report back.
Okay.
On that. Because I'd like to award it because. You never know. with regard to the Beard development, they have a planning module resolution that needs to be approved. Matt, I defer to you with regard to the actual module. Did you have a chance to review it?
Yes, I did review the module as submitted by the applicant. It is merely submitting to DEP their plans on how to convey and treat sewage generated by the Beard subdivision townhouses. As Borough Council remembers, that sewage is going to be conveyed to and treated at the Walnut Hill Utility Company within the Darlington Woods development. The review of the module, everything looks to be in order. I can recommend to Borough Council that if it's so willing that the modules can be signed off and sent to DEP at this time.
Okay.
And what we actually need is a motion to approve the resolution for the planned revision for new land development, which is essentially the module, and to also authorize the borough secretary to sign not only the resolution, but also there are two documents that go with the submission that you would need to sign.
Okay. Do I have a motion for that? Marta makes a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Jeff seconds it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 I will abstain.
He's abstaining because of the...
My role in Darlington,
Darlington Woods.
I signed the agreement for Darlington Woods to acknowledge Walnut Hill.
I do have a form you can sign when somebody abstains and they give the reason why.
I took care of the one previously.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Here's the folder.
Okay.
Great, thank you.
If he doesn't vote, he has to sign it.
So no one's opposed, and only it's all in favor, and Jordan has an abstention, and we're good. Okay, just want to make sure.
With regard to the gerrymandering resolution, that was actually passed at the last meeting, but proper form is that it should be ratified at tonight's meeting and defer to Councilman Boston.
Yeah, so I make a motion to ratify the resolution in support of improved legislative and congressional redistricting in Chester Heights Borough.
Second? Wait, yeah. You made the motion. Yeah, do we have a second?
Second.
And seconds is Everyone, sorry, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? This motion passes. Sorry, no. Thank you. Yeah, I signed it already. I have the original here.
Another matter of ratification, council voted at the workshop session to do a renewal of the iron worker CD, and we need a ratification of that approval.
Okay. Do I have a motion to ratify the selection of the iron worker CD renewal from the October 23rd work session?
So moved.
Sorry. Jeff makes a motion. Marta, second. Is that a second?
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, the motion passes.
And my last matter has to do with the annual authorization of the solicitor to advertise the 2018 tax levy ordinance.
Okay. We need a motion to authorize the solicitor to advertise the 2018 tax levy ordinance.
So.
Philip makes a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Jordan seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion passes.
Just for clarification, it's the council's intention that the ordinance should be the same village as present?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Make that.
Should we put that on the record as the?
Well, I think we're going to have a report for the budget for next year, and I think it would be included in
the budget. Okay. Sounds good. Okay, engineers report, Matt.
Since the last meeting, I attended a meeting with other officials from the borough, with PennDOT here at Borough Hall last week to discuss traffic issues, especially those related to Valley Brook Road. Also attended a meeting at Middletown Township concerning the topic of the reopening of the Wawa train station by SEPTA. Also met with Don Higgins to discuss the traffic signals that the borough has been contemplating some time now for upgrades. That's at Stony Baltimore Pike and Stony Bank, and also Baltimore Pike and Valley Brook. I asked Higgins, he owes the borough an inspection report for this year. I asked him to expedite that report so that we can identify if there's been any further failures of the systems before we go out to bid to look for the upgrades in the equipment. There was also just received revised or updated land development plan for Chester Heights Market. So they have made, I guess, updates to that plan and submitted for borough review. And we also received the revised plans for the Locktown Road land disturbance permit, which was the subject of a waiver request at the last borough meeting.
I think we have the SEPTA report and the PennDOT report under committee reports later in the meeting. So, any questions for the engineer about his report? No. Okay. If not, Mark, the mayor's report. Would you like? Shall we discuss the issue that you raised earlier at this point?
Actually, if you'd like to, before we get into a back and forth, let me just make one proposal. I did report that there were two statements that I did not think were accurate, and I asked that they be removed. And I still either ask that, or if that's not acceptable to Councilman Block, then to include the entire text of my statement at the August council meeting in that statement.
That's fair. It's the text that you... It's a transcription of the video, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, well, I think that's a fair
way to... Remove the two statements you have and put my entire text in there?
No, you can put your entire text in there.
And remove the two statements where you said the mayor stated...
No, I'm fine with the statements I made, and they're part of the record. So the record accurately states what I said, so I'm fine with the record staying as it is.
I just want to back up for a minute here. So what happened was we had a meeting, I think it was the meeting that I missed, which was a regular council meeting for August.
Correct.
And you made a statement.
Correct.
And it was not transcribed into the minutes word for word, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then Philip made a statement at a subsequent meeting when you weren't there.
Correct.
And you feel that Philip's statement did not properly reflect...
I feel that I was misquoted twice, and then those misquotes were twisted to make his argument against the visitor policy.
So the resolution that you're... Or the not resolution, in terms of a resolution, but the way to solve the problem is for you to put the transcript of your actual statement in this meet this meeting's minutes or in the work session?
I would prefer that where he said the mayor stated that my entire statement be included.
I think it would be more accurate if his entire statement was included on the minutes when the he stated them.
Okay.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And it still shows up alone in the August work session minutes as misquotes that...
Can you address that on the October 23rd minutes? So for anybody
here to get the record straight, they would have to look at the August minutes and the October minutes to find out what happened with the August work session minutes.
Correct.
So the minutes accurately...
And council has...
Right.
The council has an opportunity to correct anything they enter into the minutes that they find to be not factual.
What was entered into minutes were my direct statements. That's not a matter for council to address.
But the quotes in your statement was not factual, which you claim,
and you have stated in the minutes. The minutes accurately reflect what I have said, so the minutes are correct.
I think what you should do, Mark, is give a transcription of the statement that you made in August to Sue. Have her update the it was the August 6th meeting.
August regular council meeting
with that transcription, and then we will discuss it at the work session. You know, I assume we'll make a motion to change the minutes, and then we'll ratify it at the December regular council meeting. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't want to get into a back and forth tonight.
Yes.
We have business to take care of.
Gotcha. Thank you. Anything else, Mark, under Mayor's report?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. Under committee report, school district education training and library, Philip and Ann, and we have Greg Chestnut here in the audience as well.
It just have a part keep showing up on the minutes.
Okay.
So there was nothing. We didn't discuss it the last time. Mary Kay Burney sent me a update for school, and I'll be honest, she sent me three items, and I only have two, and I apologize for forgetting the third.
I got some more.
Okay, so the first one is just to point out that the Garnet Valley football team is in the playoffs, and they won their first game, and there's a home game against CB West this Friday, so we're very proud of the Jaguars and their, you know, going for the division title. So that was number one. Number two is to remind the public that the Garnet Valley School is putting on Legally Blonde on November 16th and
17th.
And 18th. To please buy tickets and support the drama effort there at the school. And I forget what the third one is.
Schools are closed tomorrow for Election Day. And also there will be presentations, including one tonight at the Education Committee meeting, about potential changes to the high school schedule from the current block scheduling to another form of scheduling. Nothing's been decided. It's being presented to various groups for their input. Decisions will be made later.
Is it true that you've received petitions from the students and from the students' parents against the change to the block schedule?
I personally don't know. But I know that there was. I saw one on Facebook. I don't know if that's been delivered or not.
Are we going to have an opportunity to, like, are people going to have an opportunity for input on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. At public meetings. Interestingly enough, it's not actually a decision that gets made by the school board. It's a school level decision. Now, if there's major opposition, the school board would weigh in and take a side on that. But it's basically not a school board decision, it's a high school principal decision, since the principal decides the schedule.
Since we're discussing, since you're part of the library group as well, I have another question. We did run into, I believe, the director of libraries, Susan
Sternberg.
Correct. She had said that there's funding issues at the library.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate?
Yeah, what we've run into in the last 2 years is, if you recall, we won a Keystone grant about 2 years ago, which is a capital improvement grant for the library. That's the good news. The bad news is it's a matching grant. So we received about $67,000 from the state for construction projects. We spent that much and more to do the projects. The issue that we had is that when you're doing things like replacing all your carpeting, replacing all your windows, putting in new thermostats across the building, seal coating for the building, that kind of stuff, you end up spending a lot more money than what you need just for windows. We had to redo the frames. In many cases, had to repaint the walls and all that kind of stuff. So spent a lot more money than we wanted to. Our cash got very low in the last 3 or 4 months. We're now okay. We've gotten our money from some of the other townships.
on a regular basis, so we're okay at the moment, but we'd still like to have a reserve, a capital reserve. We have no capital reserve.
Is there concern for funding in the future?
Yeah, like I said, it we get by, but basically what we're finding is that the money we get from the municipalities, which is probably about $320,000 a year, just covers keeping the lights on. Doesn't cover the programs or additional collection building and that kind of thing. So we actually basically need to get more money coming in to increase programs, increase the collection.
What happened with the state money you were discussing earlier, I think in the year?
The issue that we had a couple of years ago is we found out that the library had not been receiving direct state funding for Chester Heights, as it should have been legally. They would only go back 5 years. So they gave us 5 years worth of that funding, which totaled about $28,000.
So you did receive some of that money?
Yes, we did. We got all that for 5 years.
Thank you
for appreciating.
Is there anything else, Greg?
And the library is putting out its annual fund drive letter in the next week or two. So
take care of it.
Yes.
Okay, anything else on that committee report? Okay. Borough property parks open space, any report?
We have nothing to report tonight.
Engineering, construction, inspections, Joe and Matt. I don't think there's any report. Okay. Mm-hmm. Finance and insurance. Marta has consideration of the council to approve the 2018 preliminary general fund, liquid fuels, and fire protection fund budget. Marta?
All right. Just real quick on the insurance side, we did have a workers' comp audit, which I believe ran an additional $100, which we had to pay this month. So that's just payroll related. Okay.
I'm sorry, in that audit, is anything in?
Additional premium of $100.
Okay.
But if you'd like details, I can get you audit details. Like who, why, which is fine, because it's obviously something I'm going to ask you. Okay, so I'm sorry, you guys don't have copies of these, but they're not approved yet. So, for the general fund budget, that's the page on top. As you can see, just in summary, we're looking at a total revenue, projected revenue of $643,000 and total expenses of $636,000, with roughly a surplus of $6,800. The revenue, as you know, is composed of a couple of different factors. The variable revenue drivers, meaning our taxes that we collect, total about $309,000.
I'm sorry. Do I have the wrong copy?
Everybody's is going to be $1,000 higher than mine because I made a correction.
Can you go through those numbers?
Sure. Please? Okay. So $643,000 is the total revenue number.
Okay.
Total expense is going to be $636. So the balance is going to be a surplus of $6,800. The main income for the borough is going to be our taxes. We receive the income tax, not the income tax, I'm sorry.
Property tax.
Property tax. Yes. I was in the office doing income tax. I'm sorry. It's about $112,000. The transfer tax is projected at $127,000, and the detail of the projection for the transfer tax is on page.
And for the benefit of the audience, the property tax is the millage that we assess on the value of people's real estate property in the borough. The transfer tax is every time a property is purchased or sold, we get a portion of what's called the real estate transfer tax. And the local services tax is a tax we collect from people that work in the borough to help fund things like the fire company, etc.
Right, so specifically our property tax this year, the millage is roughly $197 million. That's the assessment from which we're assessing a 0.58 millage. The transfer tax is 0.5% of the sale of the property, and the LST is $52 per person. Once again, somebody who does not live in the borough but works in the borough. We do expect an increase in the number of people coming into the borough, therefore we increase the LST from prior years to this year to being $69,500. But for the transfer tax projections, if you look on page 11, there's detail as to how we arrived at that number of 127.
Sue, I was wondering if it would be, you start with that low point of 89,000.
Correct.
I wonder what's in that, because that's just... What year was that, 2016?
2016. So
let me see if she can print me a copy of this. Go ahead.
That's fine. So what I did is I looked at the last 3 years of transfer tax that we had. In 2015, we had a really high year because Madison got sold, so that was $332,000. And 2016 was about $90,000. And the transfer tax for this year was 2017. $20,000 of that was Arbor Square. I took the lowest tax year, which was the $90,000. I took the projections we received from Brookfield, Lenape Valley, and Stony Bank. I reduced their projections by 50% of what they said they were going to sell, and then I calculated the transfer tax on those properties. So
we have a 50%, you took a 50%.
So Brookfield projects 30 homes start to finish next year, sold. So I took 15 of those homes and used only 15 as sale number of 15 so that we would be conservative on our income.
By how much?
50%.
33,000
of Brookfield, just 50% of the homes.
Are you looking at the sheet?
The new homes.
Are you looking at the
page 11?
Yeah, I am. The reason I'm asking this is that our balance is 6,800, which, if the transfer tax, if we were $10,000 off, then we would have a negative balance. Right? So I'm just curious,
right,
of the 127, how much of that is would you consider conservative? Is it 10,000? Are we?
No. I would. So if I would, all of
37,000.
So that well covers the potential of 6,800.
Yes.
All really
yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And Stony Bank does project to build 8 to 12 units and sell 4 to 6, but we use 0 in their actual sales number projections because, in the past, their projections have been aggressive, and they have not met their projections. And therefore, I feel like projecting any sales at this point would be imprudent.
I would agree with that, because it's such in flux. Okay, you stated earlier, and I don't know if Phil heard this, if the mortgage money moves a quarter of a point or half a
right.
point over the next 6 months, millions of people are going to come out of the buying market, which is going to affect these townhouse units. And then you've got these units and whatever they're going to build at Stony Bank, if they're going to be competing dollar-wise. And these guys couldn't build 30 houses in a year unless they get a whole lot more help next door at Brookfield.
So their projection was 30, we used 15.
Yeah, That's very conservative, and if you come out in the black, that's fine.
And the 90,000 basis, just I don't have all the details, but I see a couple of months where we had large amounts, so that you could even say that should be more like 70,000 to 80,000. And if
well,
so,
the 2016 was
estimate.
The lowest year in the last 3 years of
right.
sales, and if you look at this year, it was actually 125. So if you look at year over year, we're almost projecting the same for 2018 as we received in 2017.
Right. Mm-hmm. 2017, we had two, when Fred Woods sold his property, and also they sold that brick building up there. That's why 2017 was so high.
That's why I included the specific detail on how the transfer tax was calculated, so
right.
that when we go back to this in July of mm-hmm. 2018, we can match up where we are and whether we're really projecting to hit these numbers. And if we need to at that point, then we can address any expenses that we have against that budget.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Next question. When does Wawa corporate expansion hit the tax rolls?
You mean the LLC?
Yeah.
We expect it at the beginning of next year.
Okay, and that's including those numbers?
That's included the LST number. Originally, the LST was $63,000 from year over year, and we added an additional $6,500 for this year, for next year, because we expect that increase. I think it's 119 individuals.
But the actual property, though, like for the building itself?
For the building itself, we're not. Because of the, you mean the transfer tax?
No, where's the property tax on the building?
On the building?
Yeah.
Well, I cannot alter the assessment on the building until it actually occurs, and I have not
That's
received
my
assessment number at this point. So we're using last year's numbers of 197 million.
Probably
but
about
we do
90 days away.
Okay.
30 to 60 days before the CO will be released?
It's after the CO.
Right, and then the county will...
That's a good point, because if we get our assessment and we know there's a large thing like that Wawa Annex 5 that's not included
right,
in it...
Right, but the assessment we're going to get at the end of November, they kind of close out a month or so before. So that number's still not going to include that Wawa projection. So we're going to have to go forward. So probably in January or February, we may have to re-look again at that assessment number and readjust our budget at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is one of the issues that the school board is going to look into, is the delay between when buildings hit the tax roll, because if a building's sitting out there for several months, that can be a lot of money,
right,
of tax money left behind for the school district especially.
Thank you. Okay, so that's the taxes. That's our $309,000. Then we have pass-through money, which is... Pass-through is any money that we collect on behalf of, so if a builder uses engineering services or solicitor services or plan reviews or anything of that nature, we collect the money and then we pay it to the engineer and to the solicitor, and I believe there's a few other services that flow that way. Mm-hmm. And that's the $77,000. That means we're going to get zero money from that. That means it also comes out of the expense line. Permits and fees are also based on the projected building rates that Rich and I sat down and discussed. That is on page... On page 10, you'll see the calculations for the permits. You know, permits are broken out by HVAC and electrical and plumbing and... In the end, it just becomes one giant number because they're kind of apportioned the same way, in that we collect the money and then 50% of it goes to the inspector and it's paid to the inspector, correct me if I'm wrong, Rich, usually 25% within the first year and then 25% within the second year. So, for example, if we collect $100,000, $50,000 of that will go to the expense for the borough, will go to the borough, and then $25,000 will go out to the inspector in the first year, and another $25,000 will go out in the following year, because that's how the inspections tend to roll.
This, the attachment says 151, the page 10 on mine. Am I missing something? And this says 174.
Which one do you have?
I'm on page 10 of 13. It says total permit fees,
because
151.
The permit fees on page 10 do not include the fire inspections, which are included in the 173 up
okay.
here. And that there's a large fire inspection that happens at Madison every 2 years, which we have not received the money for. It happens every 2 years. It'll happen in 2018. We have not billed it this year yet. And I believe if you look a couple of years back on that line item, what you'll see is that the money was received in the... I think in 2015, the money was received for 2014 and for 2016 at the end of the year, so it was almost doubled in there. So it's kind of staggered, but we have not received the money for 2018 yet. That's why it's in that number.
Okay.
So cable and telephone, as you know, we lost our contract with T-Mobile, was it? I think it's T-Mobile. So we have $72,000 coming in from that next year, and then $12,000 are the... smaller income that we get that comes in throughout the year. That's our interest. I'm trying to think what else. Like the county aid, just smaller things that we get in throughout the year.
There's probably one item that you haven't picked up on, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it, but the cell tower up there behind the old mm-hmm. Hilltop, Posey's mm-hmm. Pub, mm-hmm. is supposed to pay the borough each year $200 or $300 as part of the contract fee. They're also supposed to give us an engineering statement as to the condition of that tower.
And that's behind the Hilltop?
Yeah, and somewhere is in the files. I know 5-6 years ago we collected a whole bunch of money because for some reason I had to go into the files, and there it was. It hadn't been getting collected.
So we'll need to review that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a follow-up question to what I asked before. So if I'm looking at the big income statements, transfer tax, which we talked about, and permanent
okay.
fees, those have some variability to what the actual
the
transfer, are.
Yes.
So,
I think the one that's most stable is going to be our property tax.
Right. So right. My question is, if you look at the upside versus downside of the revenue. You compare that to potential downsides on the expense. Would that, if you took all the potential revenue away, that's
so variable. Let's just say no houses sell, or are you telling me
that? Well, I'm nothing? Just saying, so right now we have a positive 6,800. Is there scenarios, if you look at the upside and downside, where we, our balance is actually...
Well, there's always going to be, right, there's always going to be variability in that transfer tax. That's why we tried to be as conservative as we could possibly be in determining what that number is.
Right, so in your estimates, is there an opportunity where we might actually...
There's an upside. So let's just say that Brookfield goes ahead and finishes and sells 30 homes. That's going to be an initial $30,000. If Stony Bank actually builds, you know, the 12 units and sells 6 units, that's going to be a significant number as well. And I can't tell you what that number is because I don't have a calculator.
Well, and I don't need this right now, but I'm saying if you look at your assumptions,
if I look at my assumptions
on revenue and expense, is there a potential that 6,800 goes to zero or me?
I would generally say that the variability on the revenue is much higher than it is on the expense. A lot of the expenses are fixed. And so I think what Marta's trying to do is to just be conservative, right? Yeah.
Understand. Yeah. I'm just, if you add up all the uncertainties, is
worst
there an opportunity?
Worst case scenario, in my opinion, is let's say that the transfer tax, like nothing sells, right? Our transfer tax drops to $70,000. Then you're looking at a negative of about $40,000. If the transfer tax does not meet the lowest transfer tax we've had in the last 3 years, and none of the new developments sell.
And we have to reserve 800.
And we have 800, is it 800,000?
It's we've got over 900,000 in various reserves.
So that's the kind of ratio I'm looking at. What's the potential negative versus negative?
I mean, because it happens from time to time. I'm sure you've seen it, Matt, where the real estate market just tanks and nothing sells. And so, but we have enough cushion in the funds. Yeah,
we're good. Right, and we had that big, and the reason we have that variability and the ability to even have that reserve is because the transfer tax in 2015 was $300,000, which is three times what we project every year. Mm-hmm. So,
understood.
So that's really,
want to see rainy day.
Exactly, and the good point is we didn't spend that money. You know, that money's there for the variability of the transfer tax going forward.
Do you have access to, like, the 2009, 10, 11 budgets? Because everything around here tanked now.
Yeah. Everything around everywhere.
Sure, you know what? I'm sure you do, and that's a great point, and I will go ahead and back and look
just
at them.
Because that would be your worst case scenario in the last 15 years.
You know. In 2009, 2010?
And 11. I mean, we started coming out in 10 and 11, but it went.
There was even started before that, didn't it?
Yeah, well, in other places.
Yeah. 2008.
Yeah. Our area, this area here, stayed pretty strong through most of it, but the transfer tax went to almost zero.
Yeah. Okay, good point.
Just look at the
difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're safe.
There are a lot of expense line items that I don't know that we're going to go through line by line.
Let's go page. Why don't we go page by page?
Well,
see if people have questions on each page.
Right. So there are descriptions on how I arrived at each number on where it says budget 2018 notes. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, okay, so 400.1 general expense. You need to know that that's where our E-code's expense goes through. That's $1,095 per year. This year we included the work for the logo. That's not coming in next year. So based on the spending we did there and the reduction of that $1,675, that's where we arrived at. That's where I arrived at $6,000.
The only one I would point out on page 3 is the very last one, the web hosting, because you're assuming the first year deposit is satisfied in 2017, so you're budgeting $5,000 for next year.
Correct. So if that's not the case, if the check is cut in January, we'll have a timing issue, and we'll have to explain it.
Go on to page 4. I had a question on page 4 at the very bottom, the next last item. This is for Valerie Hoxter that helps us with in the office here.
Okay.
There's zero for 2017, and
I believe that the money was paid out of the wrong account.
Okay. All right.
And there's an explanation of how that number is calculated on the in the description.
Okay.
Trying to see what else. So,
why,
oh, I'm sorry.
Why was it paid out of the wrong account?
It should have been paid out of the, should have been paid to Hoxler, but it was paid out of Mozilla.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the wrong one.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I actually have to make a correction. Account 403.05, Tax Collector Commission, that actually is supposed to be $9,500 and not $5,598. And the reason for that is I did speak with our CPA, and she did advise me that all tax collection fees, regardless of which account they are for, whether they're for the fire fund or for the general fund, need to come out of the general fund. So that account 403.05 is going to be $9,500, which is going to increase our expenses by $4,000.
We do not want a budget to audit the tax collector in 2018. I don't think it's done every year. Sue?
I spoke with the CPA. She says that she does recommend doing it every year.
Okay.
I also believe that we should probably add $5,000 to audit the fire department. I don't know that that's the number, but I'm thinking between what the tax collector's $2,800, the borough's $7,200, $5,000, I think is a conservative number. I did reach out to Cindy. She is going to get me a number for an actual audit, but we're meeting with the fire department, and we just want to get our head around that to see how that's going to happen and what the best approach to that is. But I would like the council to consider putting that number in there. I don't have it in this budget right now.
That changes your balance.
It does.
Doesn't that put to the net? A negative balance?
It does.
I'll have to work harder.
Well, if we don't audit the tax collector, maybe, you know, we can audit the fire department instead. Sorry, that was not funny. I'm sorry, Sam.
We welcome an audit.
You've been telling me that since we passed the tax, so I believe you. Anyway, that's just something we have to make a decision on.
Okay.
But we don't have a quote, so it's hard for me to tell you what that number is.
5,000 is probably in it.
All right.
Page 5. We gotta pick up the pace here. Page 5.
I don't know what else to tell you. Everything's explained somewhere else. So.
Well, on page 5, I have a question about 3/4 of the way down fire safety inspections, 6,000 in the budget, 1,800 projected in 2018 budget. You have 12,000.
I'm sorry, where are you?
Fire safety inspections. I'm on page
number?
5.
What? Can you give the number?
413.65. Sorry, 413.65.
Okay, so look at that number. So 413.65, and then look at 41120. And those two numbers together should equal 100% because, so Madison's gonna get inspected. 20% of that goes to the fire department. I'm sorry, right, and 80% goes to Rich, is that correct? Okay, and so that's where the numbers are broken up because those get paid out of two different accounts. And then the 411.20 also includes the UNO inspections, which are at 50%. So
why is it so much higher in 2018 then?
Because Madison gets done every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
So
okay.
That's one
that
of those pass-throughs
sense.
We talked about,
right,
where the money comes in, but we don't actually see it because it goes out to everybody else.
Okay. I'm good with that. Any other questions on page 5? No? Page 6.
Page 6, I'd like to point out that snow removal should actually be removed, so take out that $20,000, and we're positive again. I forgot to remove it when I added it to the liquid fuels budget, I'm sorry.
So this is going to work twice?
Yes. Apologies.
Then I did have a question on 486.
Okay.
486.05.10, because we got a lower premium in 2017.
We did. I did the average of the last 2 years because I do not believe that premiums stay low, and I don't know what the insurance market's going to do. So instead of estimating it being high and estimating it being low, I just did the average of the last 2 years.
Okay.
Because we did have some substantial savings last year, and that's the number that I included.
Did we have claims on workers' comp?
I don't believe that we have any claims. Sam, do we have any firefighter claims? No.
Not going to work.
All right, any more questions on page 6?
No.
All right, so Marta, what do you need from council to bring this to closure?
Well, I'm going to have to make the corrections we talked about today.
Okay.
And then do we need to vote on this in any way to put it out to the public?
We do. It's got to be whatever we decide tonight has to be available for 30 days in the form in which we pass it tonight.
Okay. So.
So, but she can present it with the revisions we discussed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess so. For the general fund budget, I'm asking council to approve this budget for public review with the following changes: an additional $5,000 for the audit of the fire department, an additional $4,000 for the audit of not the audit, for the compensation that should go to the tax collector, and a reduction of $20,000 for the snow removal, which is captured in the liquid fuels budget.
So also there were plus $11,000.
So the budget will be plus $17,859.12.
Okay. So do we...
I'll move to set this budget for public review.
Dalt makes a motion that we accept the preliminary general fund, liquid fuels, and fire protection fund budget.
No, the liquid fuels we have to review.
You want to do that separately?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we do them all at once?
Okay, then let's just go to the
All right. I'll withhold my...
Yeah, thank you.
So page 7 for the fire fund budget. I'll make this real quick. So our contribution is $30,000. As you may recall, last year we moved from the $4,000 rent to splitting that out. So the contribution will go from the general fund into the fire fund. That's $30,000. The tax collection is estimated at 4 mils with a 2% discount of $197,000 in assessment at $77,224. And at the recommendation of our CPA, I move the firefighters relief fund to not be deposited into the general fund, but rather be kept with the fire fund so we could see what the total payout is into this fund at $21,700. That would be the income.
I'm sorry, but what about remainder left over in 2017 budget moving to 2018?
Right, this is just the budget, so you've got to look, it's like a...
That's a fund balance. That's like
a balance
sheet.
Okay, you're not including that as a...
This is just...
Not a passer.
Okay. Not a passer.
Gotcha.
Which is kind of funny because you'll see it on the liquid fuels.
Right.
And so here, for the purposes of the budget, I've just pretty much made this like a pass-through because we do not know what the fire tax distribution will be for next year, so I've budgeted it for a full distribution next year.
Okay.
All right. I do currently not spell like that at all.
I don't know if that needs any further explanation, the fact that we don't necessarily distribute it.
Okay. So if anybody needs... So the fire tax usually comes into the borough, and then we meet with the fire department quarterly to assess what their cash flow needs are, and then we distribute the funds as needed on a quarterly basis. I don't have the number for this year, what we have in the fire fund budget. The remainder of the money is kept for capital expenditures for the fire department, including the truck purchase and potentially the
air packs,
thank you, and any other capital expenditures that they may have. We do have funds from last year's, from the 2017 tax that are in the fund, but once again, for the purposes of this budget, because we don't know what that distribution number is going to be, we're projecting a full distribution for the following year.
Makes sense.
And then liquid fuels is page 8. This one's pretty simple, I hope. We get money in. It's $56,177.07. That number sent to us from the state. They sent us a letter as to how much they're going to be funding us. Then we have expenditures. And as you can see, those are different accounts that go into it. So we have maintenance, upgrades for roads,
traffic signal,
thank you, and maintenance of roads, which in this case includes snow removal and striping, which we discussed in a meeting.
Stripping or striping?
We could do whatever we want. sorry, I will correct that. And then, look, they don't have such a number. Okay, subtotal. So the subtotal is a negative $7,000, but we have not utilized almost zero of the liquid fuels budget from last year, so we'll be pulling that money forward, and then we'll be at a zero. And then there will still be about $50,000 left in the fund.
Okay.
The details for the fund, should you need them, are on page 9.
Okay. Now, do you want to make a motion, Philip?
Yes. So, what I said before, I was so moved to accept this preliminary general budget, fire fund, and liquid fuels budget for public review.
Is there a second?
Second.
Jeff seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion passes.
I will make the corrections and get it to you soon by Thursday.
Okay. Thank you, Marta, for all the work that you put into the budget this year. Greatly appreciated. Next on the agenda, highways, transportation. There's two things. One is the PennDOT meeting, and I guess, let's see, Marta and Jeff attended. Did you guys want to just give a brief synopsis of what was discussed? Were you there?
No.
No, okay.
We met with representatives from PennDOT, six of them, along with the representative from Senator Killian's office and Representative Quinn's office. We discussed the items that were put forward in Searle's letter to PennDOT regarding various intersections here within the borough, primarily along the main corridor of Valleybrook, and we went intersection by intersection through them, addressing which issues have been either already addressed or which things could be addressed. The main focus of our conversation was on Valleybrook and St. Thomas Church regarding traffic signals there and what would be required as far as a traffic survey of that site. The main item I think that's important to know is that before we request such a survey, if we are prepared to put in a potential traffic light, we need to have funding committed ahead of time, because should they warrant such a traffic signal, then the permit is good for 2 years, and we would need to install it within that time frame.
Right, and even before we approached them for the traffic study, my understanding is that we would need to sit down with St. Thomas and have an understanding with them that should we go forward with the study, we have to have, number one, funding. Number two, we would have to have their commitment that when PennDOT comes in and if they allow a light and then they tell them to close all the other entrances to St. Thomas, they would have to agree to comply, because if it's warranted, then they would be mandated to do so. Another concern overall is...
And just saying that, along with that, what PennDOT is advising at this point is that if a traffic signal went in, they would recommend putting it in at Ivy Mills Road, which is not the main entrance currently to St. Thomas.
Right, and what else? And the one thing they said, that once we put in the light, we should project that at some point they would also, residents would request for us to put in a middle turning lane. So it would behoove us that if we should proceed with this, that we address that potential as well at the beginning, instead of waiting for it to hit us on the back end, because we would need St. Thomas to give up, I guess, some land to allow for that road expansion.
And we should mention, this is in response to St. Thomas approaching us about a year ago, actually,
right.
Asking us to address traffic issues.
If I have a question, what driveways would PennDOT want closed if we went ahead with this?
Oh, but that main one, wasn't it?
Yeah, they would want the main entrance in and out of St. Thomas's to be the entrance across from Ivy Mills.
That's not that one.
My kids go there. That would never work. I think Matt can attach to the main access.
I agree. I think that's a real stumbling block.
Since our meeting, should have realized it.
So what we did in the meeting is we did talk about some low-cost alternatives, things that could be done if a traffic signal isn't feasible, and that is additional signage and striping on the the roads as well.
Striping.
Yeah. I think Matt wants to say something.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, one of the issues, I looked at that intersection at Ivy Mills and the Parish entrance, and they're not aligned. They're offset a little bit. And you can't align them because there's graves in the way. So if you put a signal there, you'd actually have to you'd have to allow signal time for Ivy Mills to leave and then shut down, and then the Parish traffic to leave and then shut down, and then the through traffic on Valley Brook. So not having the ability for the two side streets to operate at the same time is going to delay the signal for the entire intersection, and it's going to, you know, not pass the Valley Brook traffic through as quickly as we might have liked to.
Oh, well.
Why can't they use the main entrance? Is it too close to the next traffic light?
Yeah, they're afraid that the backups from that entrance would affect people trying to leave Ivy Mills Road, that the traffic would back up that far, and then the people would be...
It does now.
Yeah.
Right, so, I mean, you know, we...
There's a myriad of conflicting factors there. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's not as easy as one might think.
And it just seems like the other three entrances are more dangerous anyway because of the sight lines coming off of that hill.
Right.
And for years we've been trying to get those other three entrances closed just using the main entrance.
Right, and I think, you know, as you may recall, I believe you were here, you know, when Mr. from the gentleman from St. Thomas came and spoke to us, we reminded them that originally, they were supposed to close the entrance to the old church. Mm. And I don't believe that has ever happened. No. And I don't know
how it's supposed to be used. I had it closed for almost 2 years.
And right, as soon as they got the permits for the new school, they opened it right back up again,
right,
on their own without approaching the
And problem. Then he came here and he asked us for a meeting for the study, which we, you know, at this point, I know it's a year later, but
we talked about having traffic like they do at Garnet Valley. Having,
right, we talked about sometimes actually having people out there during
directing traffic
when the school opens and closes, and we haven't seen that either. So, you know, the good news is that we discussed it, and they will come. They will do the striping and they will do the signs, and the letter that Ann wrote will actually act as a ticket for them to do that work for us. They do anticipate that the painting on the road will actually happen probably in the spring.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing is, you guys identified some actions that could be taken to improve traffic flow along in the borough. But then there were some items that are going to take longer to address. And what is the next step to get those done?
Well, it depends on which one. So everybody, you guys probably have a list of items. We looked at every intersection. The two things that are getting addressed based on this letter are the St. Thomas striping and the signs, and also here at Llewellyn and Valley Brook Road, we're going to get an updated sign that says that the opposing traffic doesn't turn, and some striping to guide people along to make that turn onto Llewellyn. We're anticipating that to happen this spring as well. We did talk at length about vegetation and whose responsibility it is, and I know that kind of dovetails into a very contested property ordinance, but one thing we need to be aware of is that any borough road that goes onto the state highway, the sight lines are the responsibility of
the borough
and the property owner, and the property owner is responsible to hold those sight lines clear, and if they don't, they're in violation of Title 75, Section 6112, and they can of the state code.
So I'm sorry,
even without the property ordinance, they're in violation of the transportation code.
And is it our
right? So we went back and forth, and I don't know that we really have a clear idea. We wanted to approach Frank about this as to who has jurisdiction to write the letter to the property owner and whose responsibility is it to notify them. He's Jim Brown, who is from PennDOT, who's
the county liaison at the Bortondale office.
Right. Mm-hmm. He stated that when he writes the letters, he sends them a copy of the code, he sends them a picture of what they need to do, and he expects them to remedy it in 30 days.
And he also said that he is the key point person regarding vegetation for PennDOT, that if we do have any issues to approach him, and he can let us know, you know, the proper jurisdiction.
Right, but he said that a complaint from a resident is a trigger to issue a letter to the property owner that they are in violation of this code. But I'm still not really clear about how that dovetails between who sends the letter that they're in violation of this code.
That's my problem. Without our a property maintenance ordinance that addresses that, I don't know how we give them a letter since it's a state issue.
Right.
If you're talking about enforcing a state statute, which mm-hmm. is what Title 75 is right. regarding transportation, that letter should be coming from PennDOT. We shouldn't be sending a letter as a borough saying that you're violating a state law.
Yeah.
It should be coming from...
Except that the state's telling us when we have a local road intersecting a state highway, it's the municipality's responsibility to ensure those sight lines are maintained.
Well, I would think that once again, the state would have to send a letter to both us and the property owner, at which point we then are motivated to tell the property owner that they need to get in compliance with the state code.
And I just think that...
I don't know any municipality that spends money, unless you do, Matt, to do work that is essentially a private property owner's mm-hmm. problem.
And I agree with you on that. I think there's a law there, and I think we need to be really clear about how to work with PennDOT to make sure those sight lines are maintained, especially coming off of Wall Road. I believe that's a concern. There's a lot of intersections into Valley Brook Road that are a concern for our residents, and I think we need to make sure that we find a proper way to address that.
Well, I think if the borough receives complaints, they know a procedure is to also notify PennDOT. The question, I think, really is, does the borough go out and monitor sight lines itself? Matt, I'll ask you about that.
I mean, they can. There are some conditions right now which are, in terms of safety, could be improved, need to be improved. So my recommendation would be that the borough does take a bit of a proactive stance when the situation gets to the point where there's a safety issue.
And that is totally independent of any borough ordinance on property maintenance. And it's a very specific area that PennDOT has regulations on.
So my only concern is this comment, if I read it right, and I lost it, that there is some potential liability for the borough. And if we could write a letter, but if we don't have enforcement capability to cause an action to take place, and we're relying on, we could write as many letters as we want to a resident, and if we don't have enforcement capability, but we have liability over it, I'm a little concerned.
I don't know if it was the borough's liability, but I know it was the liability of the homeowner. So what I'm not sure, and I'm sorry, and I will maybe get that clarified. Jim stated specifically that if the homeowner is notified, and if within 30 days, if they're notified, let's say today, and in 30 days there's an accident that happens because of the sight lines, the homeowner is liable
mm-hmm.
because they did not correct that.
As long as the borough doesn't.
And perhaps, do we have liability?
Well, first of all, as a practical matter, anytime there's an accident, somebody is hurt, that lawyer will sue everybody.
Right.
I know that sounds like I'm being smart, but because they look for different pots of money that they get from. There's a special state statute that puts the primary onus financially on the property owner to the extent that they have liability insurance. They make that primary. So that cuts down on the risk, if you will, to the municipality. You could always, however, have a property owner that doesn't have liability insurance. It does happen. They don't have a mortgage. They may not have it. The other thing is that there's a special statute that limits the liability of the municipality to like $250,000. So we have that behind us also. And we have insurance that covers us to that. So can somebody be liable? Can the municipality be liable? Yes, but there are several hurdles you'll go through before there's actually the borough writing a check.
I guess my question is, if we're aware of the sight line issue, And I'm still not clear on this, even after the whole long meeting. You know, do we go to PennDOT and say, hey, write a letter because this is an issue, or because it's a borough road, we have to write the letter? Like, you know, how do we use their code? What if, do we reference the code in our property maintenance ordinance?
Well, I think even without the property maintenance ordinance, we can still send the letter and cite the state statute that makes the property owner and us liable. It also is a problem for the property owner with his own insurance company. Mm-hmm. If they go and get it, they're put on notice.
Right, we talked about that.
That can cause a problem. But it can't hurt to reference in the property maintenance ordinance that particular statute, which I had not thought of.
If we get any complaints from anybody about sight lines at an intersection, we should write them a letter and we should reference the state statute.
And I would let the state know also.
Yeah, and copy PennDOT on it too. Yeah, that's a good point.
But to follow up on Matt's suggestion, that if there are obvious conditions that are dangerous, we probably should be proactive.
Okay. So who?
And I think we have had a complaint about the intersection at Wawa and Valley Road.
Yeah. And it says Valley Brook Road and Wawa Ivy Road. Sight lines are a problem. Mm-hmm. So should we write them a letter? Is that something you would do, Matt?
Don Santafani called me, Marta, after the meeting. I'm meeting him there at that intersection Thursday to review sight lines, because that actually, Wawa Road's a state highway, and Valley Brook's a state highway. So
yeah,
it looks like the state might take the initiative at that intersection.
Yeah, good point. Okay, good. But then if there's anything on Ivy Road, we would need to deal with that homeowner. Okay, yes. So you'll follow up on that?
Lane?
And I asked him specifically about the procedural.
Can you make sure Matt's going to follow up on the intersection at Valley Brook and Wawa / Ivy Road?
And I would really like for us, once Matt clarifies this procedurally, is to write... just like a procedure for us, for council, you know, just so we know in the future if this is the issue, this is how we address it. Just so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle of the meeting.
And one of the two of you guys going to do that?
I can do that.
Okay. And Marta's going to write a procedure on how we deal with basically complaints about state roads and borough roads and where they intersect. Okay?
I would just point, though, that there are going to be some unhappy citizens when all we do is call PennDOT, right? We get that. I just think we need to be pretty clear
I think we need to understand where we begin and where they begin.
Right. And it should just be clear, because people want to call the borough and not have to call PennDOT.
And the thing is, they can call us, but the question is, do we then call PennDOT or do we send somebody out? And that's the question.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else on the PennDOT meeting?
Did you guys discuss that?
Yeah, Matt's been here too.
We did.
They said we need a stop bar.
A what?
I learned that new word.
Yeah.
It's just a line on the road that tells you where to stop. It's a big fat white line on the road.
But that the sight line, what they've done is in.
Is Matson Road a state road?
No,
it's not. Okay.
They did say vegetation was an issue there, and yes, they said that the sight lines were good with the exception of the vegetation, mm-hmm, and that the stop bar is further back or it's further up. I'm not sure what it said.
Further up. They say the cars, because that vertical geometry, cars are a little bit fearful of getting too close to the intersection.
Okay, right.
So when they sit that far back, they can't. They lose their sight line.
Don't pull too far into the intersection.
Well, right, but that's why the stop bar, like a white stop bar, will let you know where to go, and I think that'll help people get to it.
I don't mean to speak for the rest of the homeowner association that we're in, but it is a common complaint about trying to pull out of the road.
And where would the vegetation should be? On Valley Brook Road?
Yeah.
On which sign? So if you're coming up Madison Road, mm-hmm, making a left onto Valley Brook, mm-hmm, is it on the left side you're saying the vegetation? Because that's our homeowners association. I didn't know it was a problem. So we can just
And that's not necessarily trees, but just scrub growth, which is causing the problem.
And what they say is when you're at the stop bar, when you look out, you're supposed to be able to see 350 feet.
10 feet back.
Well, the real issue at that intersection is when you're on Valley Brook, coming from Aston, turning left on Aston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
unless you're driving at night when you can see the headlights coming, you basically just guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like,
did they take that into consideration? Because that's not pulling on to that.
It's very dangerous.
Right, but they were like, there's
something. We did not address that specifically.
Is there going to be another meeting to follow
up
on this?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what is, so I see you have, like, actions. Yeah. Each person has actions. Like, what is, like, the next step or what's the follow-up on this?
Well, I think for Wawa Road Maps meeting with Don, right? And, you know,
the two other items are going to be addressed in spring of next year.
Right, the striping that we agreed to and the signage is going to be moving forward. And then the question is, what else do we want them to do, right? And that's kind of the question. You know, with each one of these, there's some limitations on it. Mm-hmm. So the question, so I think once we get the process for vegetation, we can look at any intersections that has a vegetation issue and start addressing those one by one.
So then maybe the public safety committee will take this on and deal with it, like, and just follow through on everything that's...
Yeah.
Because I can see, like, sometimes it's great, you have, like, one meeting, and then there's all this stuff, and then it just kind of...
No, absolutely, falls. And I agree with you, and I think we should absolutely have a, you know, a quarterly assessment of where we are on all of these issues and to see if any new ones have come up. Mm-hmm. I also think that,
Well, PennDOT, they did reassure us about communication as far as they were surprised by the tone of the letter that they received, thinking that they had not been responsive, because they say that they're quite responsive, and Connie from Senator Quinn's, Killian's office reiterated that. And what they told us is that when we do reach out to them, that, what was it, what did the guy at the end say, Paulette? He said that it goes into an email queue,
and then at the end of the day, I'll get suppressed down, so just keep on emailing them so you get to the top.
Well, see, that's the problem. I mean, this is what Jordan was doing.
Right, so,
and then
one person says, you know, we're easy to get a hold of, the other person says, well, if we don't get back to you by the end of the day, you're out of the queue.
So that's why the tone of the letter was... The tone of the letter, because
but it got everybody here, and I think we're moving in the right direction.
I would say schedule a meeting for February, a follow up meeting.
They did say specifically that any traffic study can be applied for every 6 months, but he would rather see them every 2 years.
Sure.
But I think we need to make a list of what are the priorities and what are the things that really need, that most people are concerned about. Like, you know, I know the St. Thomas thing has been hanging out there for a while now.
It is.
I suggest, given the lateness of the night, we talk about this in the next communication, like the next scheduled committee meeting, which would be next Monday.
Well, it sense? Would be public safety, not communications, but right.
Well,
At the next council, where is it?
The work session? Maybe the work session would be a good time. Let's talk about it more at the next work session.
We do.
I agree.
Okay.
Right, can so
you,
we're gonna
yeah,
talk
Sue,
about
did you hear that? Okay, good.
And by that time, Matt will have met with Don, so we'll have a little bit more information about Wawa Road, and I'll try and pull together some procedural stuff after... Matt talks to him to see what the process is, so we can
I think our goal for the work session is to prioritize what's in here.
Exactly.
And, yeah, not try to solve world hunger, as I say.
We can't.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you guys for going to that meeting.
It was very informative.
Okay. Just on SEPTA, there's some handouts if anybody wants it. Myself and Matt and Frank attended a meeting on Halloween. And it was a meeting of the borough of Chester Heights and Middletown, some people from the Williamson Free Trade School were there. There was a lot of SEPTA people there. There were some sewer people there. Who else? Killian and Quinn were there. And anyway, it was just sort of a reach out to public officials about the project to extend the Elwyn train station to Wawa. This has particular interest for me because I ride the train to the city every day. I get on at Wawa. I know exactly what they're talking about when they discuss these roads. I definitely ask more questions than anybody else in the audience because I drive that road every single day.
But they were good questions.
Thank you. So it's a $150 million budget, and it's actually in three phases. The first phase was the one that they did when the economy tanked and they had public works money. The second phase is actually to make the rails between Elwyn and Wawa work. Not only the rails, but the the grading, the rails, the catenary lines, all the things that, you know, so the train can go from point A to point B. And the third phase is actually designing the station, the parking lot, and, you know, the access from Route 1. So if you're going down Route 1 from Granite Run Mall towards, like, I don't know, Costco, I think you know when you go down the you're going down a hill and it there's a very narrow underpass, and then you come back up. That right there is where the railroad bridge is. And so the Wawa station is actually going to be over to your left, right there before that railroad bridge. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's pretty impressive. It's got 600, it's going to have 600 car parking. Now, there's two things about this. You can read all this. There's two things about this that are not immediately clear, and as a result of my questioning, I did find out that one of the projects they're also going to do is, if you know on Lenai Road where you go over the railroad tracks, and that new trail starts off to the left, and everybody's parking in that lot across the way, that's SEPTA property, and they're going to be building a building for their employees. Uh-oh. And that parking is going to go away for the trail.
Well, the trail. Will the people be able to get to the trail from this station or no?
I don't think so. I think there's like a ravine between that station and the trail, right? There's no trail that's going to connect the Wawa station to...
Not that I'm aware of.
So yeah. There won't be access at all to the trail?
No. Now, one thing I just... And we can talk
the
about...
access to the trail, there's no parking.
Right. Yeah.
One thing I thought of is we do have a park down there at the bottom of the hill that if we wanted to consider making it into a parking lot for the trail, if we could connect it with grant money or whatever, those rails to trails people are really good at getting money, connect it up to the trail. It was just a thought I had.
But I don't know if we'd be in favor of taking a green space away from the borough to provide a gravel lot or a pavement lot for...
And there probably floods too.
Plus, you're asking them to walk across a state highway around an S curve.
Well, no, I'm saying if we had a trail set up to the trail, like to connect. I mean, it would be an amenity that Chester Heights would have.
The trail's on the other side of Lenai Road and on the other side of the West Lake.
That is correct.
That side of the
road. That is correct.
And it floods every now and then too.
Yes, it does.
It's in a floodplain. Yeah. So I think we're taking
it's probably not a good idea, but it was just an idea. And actually, though, Matt said that Westlake Plastics wants to sell some property, so they may. I don't know who would buy it and turn it into a parking lot, though, right? That's money.
Right.
I mean, we have a useless piece of land, to be honest, right there. So I was just thinking, would there be a way to use it? But
useless is just passive open space that will remain that way for the borough. I mean, I'd rather pretty trees and grass in there than...
So the one concern I have with this, which they did not bring up, and I brought up before, and I still don't know what to think about it, but this does require some movement of Mariner East 1. Within Chester Heights, and we still haven't really seen anything from Sunoco about that or the potential safety impact. Mm-hmm. So this does impact the borough in one other way that I think at least we need to explore.
Right.
Philip, I inquired about that after the meeting, and that line has already been moved.
I was going to say, I think they moved it last year.
We did not grant them a permit to do so.
I remember they did it early in the year, like February.
Yes.
Where do we have to go with that?
And I mean, I drive that road every day. One day I did see some equipment there, but then like a week later it was gone. They must have been back in those tracks a few hundred feet where they did their initial bore, because I didn't see any activity there.
Right. Well, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but I'd like to understand the value of that. Whether you agree with the move or not, I just, there's borough rights there that...
What's that?
I think
we shouldn't get bogged down.
Whatever your view of the pipeline is, I think is a borough we need to...
I think they did notify us, but...
They had to get a permit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Rich is not.
We had him apply for land disturbance permit, of which I was going to approve, but before I sent it out, I sent it to all council. And a few council members said, no, we want a little more information, so it was never issued. Following that, I had tried to reach out to the engineer that was in contact with to get a name from Sunoco, because that was a request to have somebody just come into the borough and explain what they were doing with the line, what kind of products were in the line, and so forth. And never really got a response, and maybe that's why it was after the fact.
Could you, Frank and Rich, look into that report back at the work session?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great.
Just even from just our rights, you know, whether we agree with it or not.
I do have one other question, Susan, maybe you can answer. Is it still, is the entrance to the parking lot still going to be at a new light on Baltimore Pike down from the Wawa Dairy light?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a separate traffic light on that road.
And that light's not going to be connected to all the new development that's happening at the town center. It's this traffic signal, which is only going to serve the access to the train station.
Wow. Hmm. Okay. Will it be triggered by the signal in the turning lane there so that... For the coming out of it, so it's not.
Yeah, they'll
so it's not on a constant loop during the middle of the day when nobody's sitting there waiting.
No, right. There'll be a left turn lane, which would be monitored by an inductance loop or a video camera, and it will trigger when the cars are static there.
I have one more thing to say that I ferreted out in my discussion. They put up this nice little map about how all these people from Chester County are going to be coming in and getting on the train, and I said, well, won't people from the south be coming up Valley Brook Road to get onto Route 1 to get onto the train? And they're like, oh, no, we don't think so. I think so. Because, for one thing, Marcus Hook, for example, is Zone 4. If you're somewhere in the North Aston area and it's not easy for you to get to Elwyn, you're going to want to bop up Valley Brook Road to Route 1. I can see it causing more traffic in the borough. But, anyhow. So...
Yeah, and also coming down Stony Brook Road from
Smithbridge
Chester
Road,
County
even.
Area.
Yeah, down Smithbridge Road and up Valley Brook from Concord, or not Concord.
Matt, originally when this went in, I know PennDOT had inquired with Chester County to see if they'd be interested in extending out to Westchester, and at the time they weren't. It wasn't a priority for them, but I've heard recently that now they are interested in possibly extending it. Is that true?
I inquired about that, too. There's so much track upgrades that are required that's out there. They realize that might be a nice thing to do, but it's not in their plans at this point in time.
Yeah, we're probably going to get a lot of, like, people from Concord Township that they probably go to Elwyn now. They're going to go up Valley Brook Road to Route 1 to get to this train station. So they kind of glazed over that. But so those were some of the impacts that I see to Chester Heights.
Did they do a traffic study at all, or?
I'm sure they have to do one as part of their project, right?
I think they were going to bring it to the meeting.
Okay, yes, they're coming to the work session on November 21st. That's our work session date, right? Or am I?
I think so.
No, it would be the 27th. On the 27th. I'm thinking of my meetings at work, believe it or not. Anyway, on November 27th to present to council. Okay. But that's some of the questions you might want to think about.
But so they're approving it, but there's nothing, they're not requiring any sort of approval from us or anything, right?
No, it's a community, communication
right.
part of their project. So. Okay. And if you notice, their restoration of services early 2022.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So it's a ways off, but...
Yeah, well, don't get your hopes up, because originally when this project started, my son was just starting Temple, and it was supposed to be done by his senior year in 2014, so...
They sounded pretty serious about it, like they...
They had a drawing.
Yeah.
Well, it had been, not that long ago, it had been 2020. It's only recently that I've seen that something pushed out.
2022, yeah. Okay.
I just have one other thing. I'm not sure if this is the best spot to fit or not, but I know there were some concerns that were voiced around Walnut Hill Boulevard with some of the vegetation leaning on some of the, Highland properties, which is behind Thistle.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let you know that that's all been remediated.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So unless there's some other issue that I'm not aware of, the HOA did what they had to do.
Okay, Okay. I don't think we have anything under nominating or vacancy, correct? Under public relations, communications, and...
Well, Jordan gave his proposal for the website redesign. He did the presentation at the last meeting. So I believe he was hoping that we would approve the proposal and the project to start. right, Jordan?
Yeah, that's correct. So I think just as a follow-up, there were a bunch of questions that came up throughout the presentation, and I spent the last couple of weeks trying to get answers to all the questions. And I sent out, I think it's in the packet that Sue had put together for everyone with the Q&A, including the fire department as well, for their website, was one of the questions that came up. But basically, you know, at a high level, one of the questions was who owns the developed website. The borough will own all the data, so we own the website itself. And one of the questions was around transitioning to another service. We can transition it. There might be some modifications that might have to make it work with whatever system we're going to be moving it towards. So it may not be a complete transparent lift and shift, but there might be a little tweaking required. And depending on the service, it might be a significant tweaking. So that really what you would want to do is move it to a comparable service with comparable capabilities. We were talking about storage space limitations for the website. There was none. And then we were talking about email account, and the email, the little change that has occurred since we've been in discussions with VTS, which is the design company organization, is that they were doing email as a value add. They basically were a reseller of email. They do not offer it directly, and they stopped offering the email service with them. But that's not a terribly bad thing. The email service, we have the ability to go anywhere with it, and I had to discuss some options. The service that they're currently using, it works for them okay. They have customers on it, but what he was explaining to me was that the reason that they decided not to continue offering it is the service has not been keeping up with the advanced technology. So if we would get on it, but there's questionable about if they would continually update it. So they didn't want to promote something that they felt was not going to continually be occurring. So there are other alternatives like Microsoft, Google, that we can look into as a better email platform. And really that it wasn't part of the original cost proposal. We could look at that as a separate initiative and get costs around there and get a separate proposal to move into a different mail platform itself. But the two were never interrelated or decoupled. It was just a value-add service. So skipping over the questions around the number of email accounts, and we can still use the one that they had, but we would just go direct versus through VTS, if that's a desire of council. The secure areas, there are multiple secure areas that can be created within the website itself, so that would be part of it. So that's not a problem for private secured initiatives for different parts of council or council as a whole. And then there was the biggest question was around the fire department, if there was a cost benefit of us developing in conjunction with the fire department. Excuse me, there were actually three options. And they have some pros and cons for each option. So one is that we could develop them within our own website at no additional cost. So it would be Chester Heights, but then the fire department would be like a department underneath the existing website itself, would be one option. And I think that was one that we desired. I think it was voiced that that was not in favor of doing that. Then there's another one that we could just set them up as a sub-site underneath the same web basic platform. So they would leverage our content management system. They would have the ability to have their own URL. They would have the ability to maintain their own content, and there would be some cost associated with who would administer that per user. The disadvantage of doing that would be if we, as kind of the owner of the website, decide to move to another email server or a web service, what would happen is they would be forced to move along with us. So they would be at our basically mercy, for lack of better words, of being if we whatever decisions we make could directly affect them overall, or ultimately they develop their own. And that's what it comes down to. So the second option would be a discounted option if they were a sub-site within our own, and if they would agree to that, that they would be okay if we make a decision, a future council makes a decision to move to a different type of web platform or service, they would be forced to move along with that website.
Do you know the relative cost savings for us in the fire department if we went with that second option?
What it would be incrementally. So what we would have to do is look at the cost and then divide it. So it would be additional, the way I can answer this, it would be additional $2,000 upfront costs for the fire department, and additional $500 for two users annually. And if they want additional users, it would be $250. So let's say, worst case, it would be $3,000. We would add all of our costs together and then divide that in half, essentially, at the end of the day. So we're talking about...
It takes $1,500 for each.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we're talking about, $1,500.
Are you guys listening to this?
No.
Sam?
Excuse me?
They're trying to save you $1,500.
We're talking about the website and whether to include the fire department in with it.
If you were interested.
If you were interested.
I don't know. We have to look at our proposal on our budget and see if we really can afford that.
Well, right. So the advantage is if you went to did your own, this would be cheaper.
Yeah. And it's just cheaper right now is like we're getting it for like $25 a year. We had somebody that did it. And,
okay.
But there are some disadvantages that yep. we see. We struggle the same thing. Who manages the content? We have a volunteer today, and tomorrow he's gone. So mm-hmm. what happens? I think something we'll take a look at with certainly.
Just an option I asked Jordan to look into to see if it save you guys money or not. So thank you.
No, no problem. I know it's a little complex and different options, but I just wanted to make sure that you had all the information. So those were the seven main questions/concerns that I was asked to follow up on as a result of the presentation. Basically to echo what Ann had said earlier, if there are no other questions or concerns, what I would ask for is a motion, since we do have a budget for this year and I would like to start moving forward on this, we have the $3,500 budget for this calendar year, for this fiscal year, I should say, and that will be, over 3 years we will be doing this. At a lesser equity, it would be 42 for the subsequent years, but that also includes all the maintenance associated with it. And it's about I projected about 4 to 5 month initiative. So if we're starting this now, let's say we get authorization, we'll probably look at the end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter to have the new site up and running for our borough itself. But what I would ask, if there isn't any other questions or concerns, is I was going to ask for a motion to approve the $3,500 to BTS to initiate the project to upgrade and redesign the website for the borough.
That's just one question.
Absolutely.
The 2018 money that you suggested, $4,200, that's in the current budget proposal.
Yes.
So all the numbers we just talked about already.
They're already included, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Philip makes the motion. Is there a second?
Second,
and seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The motion passes. Was anyone opposed? I'm sorry. No, we're good. All right.
So glad to be moving forward with
this. Thank you, Jordan.
No,
sure. Okay. Is there anything else on any other committees? I think there's probably no report from the remaining committees. Is that correct?
I'll just briefly say that, at the last meeting we did discuss for historical that we were working on trying to salvage some items from the choir in the country. The demolition crew did set aside some shutters, which Marta picked up, thank you very much, and they're sitting out there. So we need to find a better home for them now that we have saved them than up against the wall.
Indoor shutters were very heavy.
So,
really?
So what you're suggesting is we need a Chester Heights Historical Society location.
Well, we can put the shed out back.
I think that's something for Historical Committee to discuss
and report
back to Council.
All right.
Okay. If anything else from any committees, thank you for getting that stuff. That was great. Yes, Frank.
We have tabulated the snow removal.
Oh, okay, that's right. Go ahead. Go for it.
I'll let Matt read them.
Right. There's three bids received. They all appear to be in order in terms of their content and their insurance requirements. I'll just read them off as I opened them. Scott's lawn service was $125 per hour for a truck and $150 a ton for salt rate. Moore Construction listed three different trucks, but they started at $165 an hour, and their salt rate was $175 a ton. And Dan Kelly, who I think presently services the borough, was at $125 an hour for a truck and $120 a ton for the salt. So when you look at the aggregate of the rate and salt, Dan Kelly is the apparent low bidder for the salt contract.
Okay.
Can I ask a question to our roadmaster, yeah. Larry? Were you satisfied with Dan Kelly and their performance?
Yes. I had had contact with him, and we basically had an agreement that it was between 2 and 3 inches on the ground. He was to automatically go out, and then we were to survey it, and he did it. You know, I think last year we had very little complaints.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is this just for 1 year, Matt?
No.
2 years, is it?
Actually, through 2019. The present contract was also 3 winters.
Are we making a motion?
Yeah, so we need to make a motion, right?
Yes.
So we need a motion to approve Kelly, is it Kelly Landscaping or Kelly? Dan Kelly's Landscaping, Inc. as the winner of the snow removal bid and contract from 2017 through 2019. April 30th, 2019. It starts December 1st of 2017, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So
Marta made a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Jeff seconds a motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The motion passes.
Susan, what was the beginning date of that contract?
12/1/17. Okay, is there any old business? Is there any new business?
This may be one or the other. The SB Conrad Chestrites Market extension expires on December 4th. That's the date of our next meeting. Do we want to inform them so that they can?
I think Matt said he got something from
them. We received.
It's right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't we meet on the 12/4?
Yes, we do.
It expires that day, and we meet on 12/4. Can we extend it on 12/4?
Yes, we can.
Did they come in and present it? They presented it to Planning Commission, right?
I don't think they presented to Planning Commission, did they?
No, I don't think they have yet.
Could we ask them to come in? And, I mean, I'd like to just see what they're doing.
Yeah.
I thought our last discussion was that they would submit these plans now and that it would be sometime this month.
Could they present that at the November work session?
Well, the plans have just been submitted, so normally I would attempt to get a review out for the Planning Commission meeting. The Planning Commission is meeting early this month, aren't they?
Yes, because of the holiday.
What is it? It is the 16th.
Today is the
6th. I give you 10 days.
10 days.
Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't stop them from coming to our work session on the 27th.
That's correct. Yeah.
Well, and I'll be honest. We said we might not approve an extension because they didn't move forward. Well, they moved forward, right? So I'm not sure there's
we could extend
we would
it.
Not extend it,
right? Right. Since there's been progress, exactly.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
So, but it would be nice to see if they could present at the November 27th work session, just, you know, some kind of an overview.
But I would definitely put on our next legislative meeting extend
it
because
and
they did do what we asked.
Yes. So can you...
Would you want to do that?
Or we could do it on the 4th.
Or wait till maybe the Planning Commission has one shot at it to ferret out any other issues of Planning Commission.
Commission meeting is the 16th, and the work session is the 27th.
Right, that gives us like 10 days. We'll see your review letter by the 16th, so they would have to extend before we got a chance to get a real bite at it anyway.
Right.
So they did meet your...
I would say we
forward,
need to get the letter from Planning Commission.
Yes,
otherwise,
that's true.
If something changes, then...
Well, I mean, the worst case is we could have them come on the 4th and present it, and then we could extend it if necessary, if there was any delay, right?
And I think they're pretty motivated to actually do something.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Why don't we ask them to try to come for the 27th?
That's what I'd like to do. Matt, you're holding, you seem hesitant.
I don't know. Again, I haven't even opened the set. I just got them today. So I have a feeling that it's the same plans that they submitted before. They had a lot of outstanding comments concerning stormwater management. I mean, but since that time, Borough Council, I think, expressed its interest in having sidewalks along the street, so that was going to be part of my review and part of input from the Planning Commission. So I thought maybe if some items like that get ferreted out, you might have a better presentation after the Planning Commission looks at the plans one time.
Let's let it go through Planning Commission, and then if you feel it's appropriate to have it the work session, let us know, or the 12-4 meeting. All right, we'll leave that up to you. Okay. Any other new business? Additional period for public comment related to matters discussed in tonight's meeting. Is there any questions, concerns? Yes? No? I'm sorry.
Again, I'm sorry.
Sure.
One thing Chester Ward believes in is transparency, and what this is a copy of a letter that Mayor Kirkland sent to Cynthia Lightsole, who is the chairperson of our board, which I'd like to share with you to read over, see what you think of it, and again, any support that you could offer to Chester Water, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Let me ask a question, and I don't want to go into hours of this, but first of all, I'm a fan of Chester Water. Love your water. But the little I've read in Delco Times, this is an issue being brought up by the city of Chester, and their claim that they have a right to sell your contract, correct? So what are you asking? What are you asking municipalities to do since this is?
Well, every other municipality has basically just passed a resolution that we are not in favor of a sale. That we at this time.
But that goes to the city of Chester because they're the ones that are considering
the
sale.
The resolution goes to the board.
They Chester what?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all. I mean, it's nothing that goes to the city. The city of Chester doesn't run Chester Water Authority. In 2011, it was turned into a regional water authority. Now, even before it was a regional water authority or made a regional water authority, the city of Chester never ran Chester Water. They just had the ability to sell Chester Water because they had a 5-member board, which they would be able to do that. In 2011, legislation was passed, and they made it a regional water authority, making the board members evenly distributed throughout the area, the service area. So now you have 3 from Chester County, 3 from Delaware County, and 3 from the city of Chester. You know, to make it more fair, that it wouldn't just, you know, if Chester needed it to bail out of Act 47, they would have it. You know, but how fair is it for the rest of the ratepayers in our service area to be subjected to possibly higher rates with Aqua just to get them out of Aqua?
I just wanted to confirm that this is a dialogue between Chester Water Authority Board and Aqua, not the city of Chester.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think Frank wanted to say something now.
I wasn't aware of the 2011 regionalization, so I will keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, just a little question. If the sale does get sold, who gets the proceeds from the sale? Where does the proceeds go to? Does it go to the city of Chester? Or does it go to a different...
Yeah, who gets the proceeds of the sale?
Well, I'm sorry.
Who gets the money from the sale?
Yeah.
From the sale?
Yeah, so
That's really what is up in the air. People don't really know who would get, you know, they think that maybe the proceeds would be divided up between Chester County, Delaware County, and the city of Chester. However, you know, that's where all you guys come into play and say, hey, what about us? Which could quite possibly happen. You know what I mean? And that's, nobody really knows. But nobody really wants to find out, at least from Chester Water. I mean, just so you know.
Right.
Nobody wants to find that out.
Gotcha. I mean, I...
Anything else? You know, I know this is the second time. I didn't come here the first time, but a couple of guys came one time before.
Yeah.
I believe asking for support. And again, the only reason I came back here is because many of the other boroughs and townships have passed the resolutions and they are on board with what we're trying to do, which is basically just prevent a sale. That's all. You know, if you're happy with Chester Water, then stay happy with Chester Water. You know, but if you guys want something different, you know, it is what it is out there. But again, they're trying to warn everybody. That's why they sent the letters out that they sent out showing you what the board voted and how they voted. And the one that was most disturbing to me, if you received any of that literature, is the voter referendum. to put it in the hands of the people, that was the most narrow vote at 5-4, which is disappointing, you know, which lets me know that maybe Chester's not in this by themselves. Maybe there's somebody else that's trying to align something to make it a 5-4 vote the other way. But I can tell you it's not Delaware County. You know, Delaware County is very solid with maintaining Chester Water, you know, and keeping it Chester Water.
I understand your concern about probably your job may be at risk. I mean, myself, I've worked for three different companies in the last 3 years because I've been sold and sold again. And Philip and I used to work in the same company. He's been sold and will probably be sold again. And that honestly is the way of the world. It's not a pleasant place to be in because I've been there twice in the last 3 years. I just don't feel like it is a job of any municipality to get involved in what I think is a private transaction between two companies. Even if you're, it's just like if Dan Kelly Landscaping came to us and said, you know, somebody's going to buy me out, I want you to write a resolution and get involved in it. I just don't think it's our jurisdiction to do that. That's my personal opinion.
The one difference on that, though, is this does impact needs of our residents here. And
well, it may impact. You don't know for sure, right?
It will, one way or the other. It's not going to stay the same.
Right.
One way or the other. So, you know, if the rates are going to go up, I do think there's a potential that we could have a say in, you know.
I think we can discuss it at the work session.
Yeah. And I don't mean to batter
that's fine.
You know, try to put any pressure on you. It's just that many of the municipalities throughout, and in Chester County also, pass resolutions.
I was just stating my personal opinion.
Yeah. I think we should debate it at the work session.
Yes, I agree.
I just have two additional questions. How many municipalities does Chester Water Authority service?
In Delaware County, 17.
Okay.
In Chester County, I believe it's 16.
Okay.
And I believe, I'm not exactly sure, I think we have everybody in Delaware County, except the city of Chester.
Okay.
That's it. Chester Township, Parkside, Cayman, you know, all those areas. Man. Out in Chester County, maybe about two, but I think the areas that you don't have in Chester County may have like one or two residents in whatever particular area that you're in. So they may have not even, you know, we didn't even go there.
Okay. And the second question I have is the timing. When is this decision supposed to be made, one way or the other? Is there a timeline for the decisions?
For the resolution or for the
sale?
For the sale.
Yeah. It's just the offer was voted down. Okay, but Aqua just isn't going away. They're not taking no for an answer, which is, you know, it's almost obvious what's going on, you know. But American is the biggest out there, and they're not even involved with any talks of a sale. That's why a lot of people feel that Aqua may be taking a back door to some of these politicians down here to lock this thing up, more or less. But the original proposal for $250 million was turned down. That's it. There's no impending sale at this moment. So don't let me come here, you know, spreading false information, because that's not the case. The proposal was turned down, and a new one has not been brought up yet.
Okay, I'm gonna bring this to a close. If you don't mind.
Just basically, for us, this is like
preventative maintenance. Are all borough residents served by Chester Water?
I appreciate it. Anything that they can do, is comfortable doing, we appreciate. But if not, you know, it is what it is. But
okay.
You got to ask.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our fire hydrants are also split.
Yeah. So the borough is not all served by us. Chester Water. Aqua serves a good part of the borough.
Yeah, I have Aqua. So. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Philip makes a motion. Is there a second? Jeff, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Good night, everyone. Our next meeting is November 27th.
We had longer meetings.
Well, the budget's pretty important.
This was 15.